Praise God. Please be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are hungry for God? Amen. Amen. Are you glad to be here today?
Yes.
Amen. God is a good God. God is such a good God. And you know, God's given me a word today that I just believe is a strategic word for such a time as this. Amen. It's, you know, we're coming up to the month of September, and we know what's happening in September, yeah?
Yes.
But I want to ask, what generally happens, I think outside the boundaries of Harvest Church now, but in England, in this nation, every September, the same thing happens every year. Just any guesses? Winter, well, it's a bit early for winter. Not quite, sorry? School year. Amen. Mary got it right. Exactly. Kids go back to school. Is that right? In September. Every September, the same thing. It goes round and around. And come September, guess what happens? Kids go back to school in September. So what will we be doing? What will parents be doing? They'll be getting ready, won't they? What will the kids themselves be doing? They'll be getting ready to go back to school. They'll be preparing, we could say, yeah? Actually, there's another group of people, even the actual shopkeepers, try Stevenson's as an example, they'll be getting ready as well. Did you know that? Yeah? What will the Stevenson's shopkeepers be doing to get ready? They'll be stocking up, they'll be preparing, they'll be getting ready to take your money. Yeah? They'll be getting ready to take the money off all of those desperate parents that do the lastminute.com thing. They'll be there ready and waiting for you. But, you know, we get ready, don't we? It's preparation. And I want to speak to us today about getting ready. Amen. About preparing. About getting ourselves prepared. Why don't we go straight away to the book of Joshua and chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 2 to 5. Joshua chapter 3. The scripture says, "And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenants of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out and you shall set out and from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we greet your word this afternoon with great expectation. Father, anoint these lips of clay. And Father, Lord, grant me utterance, Father, to minister your word, Father, as you have given it to me, Father. Lord, anoint our ears to hear. Those listening over the internet, Father, far and wide, Father, let the sound of your word go to every heart. Father, Lord, bring, Lord, revelation of your truth, Father, to every heart, Father. Let nobody leave this place the same, but let each one leave impregnated and filled and inspired and motivated with your word. Father, we thank you. We give you all of the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And his people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, that's an amazing piece of scripture. And just to give some historical background to it, you see, Moses had brought the people, the Israelites, just deliver them out of the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. Amen. We know the story. And they came out of Egypt. You know, they actually plundered the Egyptians. You know, they went and borrowed their articles of silver and gold from them. And basically, they stripped them. And then Moses led them out. Amen. They got to the Red Sea, and we know what happened there. You know, the Bible says that, you know, Moses stretched forth his rod, parted the seas, and when the armies of Pharaoh attempted to follow them, what happened? The walls of water came crashing down, amen, and Pharaoh and his chariots were drowned in the sea, amen? Amen. Praise God. And so that was passed, and they were through that bit, and now they went into the wilderness. And the Bible describes how God did many miracles and signs and wonders to sustain the Israelites in the wilderness. And so they had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they followed that pillar through the wilderness. Amen. And God continued to perform miracles, signs, and wonders to meet their every need. And so when they were thirsty in the desert, guess what? God caused water to gush out of the rock. When they were hungry in the desert, guess what? God performed the first, you know, what I call airdrop of food. You know, food aid didn't just start today with the Iraqi war and stuff. But way back then, God was sending ravens. He was doing airdrops of food for his people, even in the deserts. Amen? You know, when there was a flood in the earth, back in the days of Noah, what happened? God provided an ark. And so our God is the Almighty God. He keeps on giving and providing and supplying needs according to his riches in glory. Because with God, there is no lack. Amen. There's no lack of supply. God is not short on his resources. God has resources everywhere. He has his people everywhere. And so it came to the point where Moses, you know, missed it with God. And God actually told him that you're not going to enter the promised land. And even though he saw it afar off, God had told him that you will not enter into it. And so Joshua chapter 1 starts with these words, that now Moses, my servant, is dead. And then God says to Joshua, now you, Joshua, arise. Everyone say arise.
Arise.
God tells Joshua to arise and to lead this people, his people, lead them over the Jordan, and where? And into the promised land, into the land that he's prepared for them. God tells Joshua that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have already given it to you. I mean, if you're talking about promises and confidence, what about that? God says every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've already given it to you. So God is saying to Joshua, this is a done deal. It's a no-brainer. Just go. So all Joshua had to do was to go forward. Amen? Amen. He had to tread on the place. And he says, every place you tread upon, I've given it to you for your possession. And so God raises up Joshua and tells him to go through. And so we catch up with Joshua here at the brink of the Jordan, getting ready to cross over. And I sense that in the spirit, this is our time now. We're crossing over our Jordan. Amen. We're crossing over through this conference that's coming up. We're crossing over into the place that God wants us to go. Can you say amen? How many are ready for the next level? Amen. Amen. That's every single one of us. We're ready for the next level because that's the word of God to us as a church. It's a prophetic word that, you know, the next level is ours to take. But you see, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just drop. We have to prepare. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, be prepared. Turn to your neighbor and say, your best days are still ahead of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, days of glory are ahead of you. Amen. And that's, you know, so our expectation needs to be out there, expecting, you know, what God is going to do in this conference. And I want to say that everything, you see, that the Israelites went through up until that point was preparation for them. You see, they were in a time of bondage under the yoke of Pharaoh. And the Bible describes how they cried out to God. Yeah, and God heard the cry of his people and raised up Moses as a deliverer to deliver them from the place of bondage and the oppression of Pharaoh. Amen? And then God led them out into the wilderness. He performed signs and wonders, having done all the signs and wonders that they saw in Egypt, You know, the waters turned into blood. The firstborn of Pharaoh slaughtered. So many things God did to just affirm them and demonstrate his presence with them. And you know, none of those plagues touched any of the Israelites in the land of Goshen. Goshen, when the lights were out everywhere else, the lights were still on in Goshen. When there were plagues of flies and all kinds of creeping creatures and things plaguing Pharaoh, guess what? In Goshen, it was plain sailing. And so the hand of favor was upon the Israelites in Goshen. And so that they were all well there. But I want us to notice what God says to, or well, through his servant Joshua, what he says to the people as they sit now on the brink of the Jordan, getting ready to cross over. Can we have verse 5 up again? And then he says, yeah, he says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify yourselves. And I want us to drill down a little bit on that word, sanctify. Because it means to set yourself apart. Amen? Amen? So God was preparing them. Joshua was preparing the people to go over and to go into and to possess. And he said, before we embark on this, before we get going, sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart. Set yourselves, not somebody else. You know, so many times we hear a word and we think, you know, I wish so-and-so was there. That word will be really good for X, Y, Z to hear. No, God is speaking to you. Point it up and say, God is speaking to me. The word says, sanctify yourselves. I need to sanctify myself. You see, we're being sanctified by the word that is being preached to us right now. And to sanctify means to set apart or to separate. And you know, I always see it as two halves of the same coin. Because there's a separation away from, and then there's a separation towards. Amen? There's a separation away from the things that would seek to entangle us. You know, the Bible speaks in the book of Hebrews about the sin that so easily entangles or trips us up. Amen? So separating ourselves away from distractions, separating ourselves away from the things that displease God or grieve the Father's heart. Scripture speaks about grieving not the Spirit of God who is in you. Amen? Because each one of us is a carrier of the Holy Spirit of God. And so the Bible tells us not to grieve the Spirit. And so there are things that we can do that can grieve the Spirit. Amen? You know, if strife enters in, then it grieves the Spirit of God. You know, strife is one of those little things that is a gateway sin. Because when it gets in your life, then it opens the door to every other kind of thing to come in after it. Amen? But we're not going to allow that. We're not going to permit strife in our lives. Can you say amen? Amen? And so we're going to separate ourselves away from those things that distract. You know, in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, it said that Daniel purposed, everyone say purposed. Purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart, not in his head, but in his heart, that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or with the king's delicacies. You know, I wonder if that was us today, how many would be saying, I've got a testimony, you know, I've got a promotion, I've got the king's meat, it's king's meat on the plate, praise God. But the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. You see, there are things that would defile us. You see, we mustn't be ignorant of Satan's devices. And so Daniel purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. The word says, sanctify yourself. And so for us today, you know, it's different things. For us, it might be, you know, it might be too much TV. You know, TV is not bad, but guess what? Too much of it is good. Can you say amen? You know, I love to follow the news. I love to, like, keep in tune with what's happening out there in the world. Sometimes when I miss the news, I feel like, gosh, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to hear something from someone and say, oh, did you know that, you know, this has happened or that has happened and you're not aware. And so I like listening to the news, for example. But, you know, there is a season when I need to separate myself from other distractions and tune in to God. Because what separating yourself does, it helps to fine-tune your spirit. You know, where does God stay? God is not in your flesh, in your mind. He's in your spirit, in your inner man. That's where it is. That's the core. And that's where God speaks to you primarily. See, God speaks to you through his word. God is speaking to you now through his word. God can speak to you through others. You know, God even spoke to somebody through a donkey. Amen? So if you're really hard-hearted, God can get a donkey to speak to you. But God speaks to us primarily through his word and in our own spirits. And so at this time of sanctification, it's a time to block out the distractions. You know, we have two gates. We have the eye gate and the ear gate. And so things come into your heart or into your spirit through your eyes, through what you read, and also through what you hear. The Bible says, take heed what you hear. Because with the measure that you give, you know, the measure of thought and study, the measure of attention that you give to what you hear is the same measure that will be measured back to you. Amen? And so we need to be careful. And so as we approach the month of September, I want us to be prepared. God wants us to be prepared because God is about to do something amazing. It says, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So sanctify yourselves in preparation. And I'll add, sanctify yourselves today because of what the Lord wants to do tomorrow. How many know that when opportunity comes, you know, I heard this from John Maxwell, he said, it's too late to prepare. I'll say that again. When opportunity comes, or when opportunity knocks at the door, it's too late to prepare. And so, if this, let's say, for example, a courier service says, okay, we're going to come to your house and collect this parcel that you want us to deliver somewhere else. And they tell you a couple of days ahead of time. And so, it's not when the courier driver arrives now at your place of business or at your house to say, okay, knock, knock, knock. I'm here to collect the parcel. He says, oh my goodness, I've not even wrapped it up yet. And you suddenly start trying to wrap it up. You know, it doesn't work, does it? You need to have wrapped it the day before, tied it, got it all nice and ready. And then when the courier comes, as you open the door, you said, here it is. There you go. And it's ready. So when opportunity knocks at the door, it's too late to prepare then. God wants us to prepare now for what he's about to do, because tomorrow the Lord will do signs and wonders among us. Amen. See, I love that story of Daniel because it shows the quality of his decision. You see, what he was giving up, what he was saying no to, wasn't yesterday's leftovers. What he was saying no to was the king's delicacies. Yeah, the king's delicacy. So this was good stuff. This was prime quality nosh. Amen. Food. This was the prime stuff. It was the king's wine. So maybe it was, I don't know, is it Dom Perignon? What's a good wine? Give me some names. Merlot. Merlot. Dom Perignon is a good one. Merlot, someone is saying. All kinds of goodies. But he was saying no to that. What? For a purpose. Because he knew the prize that was ahead. He knew what was at stake. You know, how many remember the story of Daniel again when he was in the place of prayer and intercession for 21 days? Remember that? And he did that 21-day fast. And what did the angel say to him when the angel finally came with the message? He said, from the first day, Daniel, that you prayed, that your prayer was heard. But the messenger of Satan withstood me. Yep. Withstood me as I was coming with the answer, with the message. So often, you see, there's a place that we need to travail and prevail to make sure that the answer gets through. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so in that scenario, because Daniel had positioned himself, everyone say position.
Position.
See, we need to position ourselves. You see, we need to take the right position so that we can receive what God wants us to receive, so that we can receive what God wants to bring through into our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we need to shut out distractions. You know, we're spirit, soul, and body. God primarily is talking to us through our spirits. But you know, so often, the outer man, the flesh, can get in the way. What does the Bible tell us to do with our minds? It says to renew our minds. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, so we need to experience the transformation of God by the renewing of our minds. Amen?
Amen.
So that we can prove the word of God to be true. And as we separate away from the things that distract us, then we also move towards God. You see, in the time of fast, you're humbling the outer man. You're humbling the flesh. Amen? And you're fine-tuning the spirit to pick up the frequency of God. I often think of it like a radio. You know, we know how to tune our radios. And you hear all those funny sounds. And you're trying to hone in and pick up the right frequency, the right signal. And when you click the right one, it's so loud and it's so clear. Sometimes there's like a little interference. Sometimes there's a little static. But when you hit the right station, it's clear, isn't it? It's crystal clear. God wants us to be crystal clear. God wants us to have our receivers fine-tuned to his frequency. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Praise God. And as we separate towards God, I want us to look at Psalm 63 and verses 1 and 2. God gave me this word as well. And I love this scripture. This is a personal favorite of mine because this word ministered to me personally in a time when I was backslidden, when I was struggling in my own walk with God. And it says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. Everyone say early.
Early.
Early will I seek you. So not late, not when it's too late. You know, they talk about locking the doors after the horse has bolted. It's too late then. If you want to lock the paddock, you need to lock it first and lock the horses in, not locking the doors after they've already bolted and gone. And so he said, the psalmist says, early, God, will I seek you. Early will I seek you. He says, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. My soul thirsts. My flesh longs for you, God. And so, you know, that's the cry of his heart towards God. That God, my soul is longing for you. My flesh is longing for you. And I want to say this as a little PS. You know, that doesn't happen easily. To get to that point where your soul is thirsting for God, your flesh is longing for God. It doesn't just happen like that. Bring up Job chapter 23 and verse 12. Job 23 and verse 12. Job 23 and 12. It says, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know, that doesn't just happen. You don't just get to the place where you suddenly say that I treasure the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. You mean more than McDonald's? You mean more than Burger King? You mean more than KFC? Pastor P used to speak about rubbing the fat into his cheeks after a good KFC meal. Sorry, Pastor P. But no, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. How do we get to that place where we treasure God's word more than our necessary food? You know, you've got to train your body. Everyone say train. You know, you've got to train your flesh. You know, if you've never sort of fasted before, been in that place, it can sometimes be really, really difficult just to go into a 21-day fast, can't it? Yep. How many honest people do I have here? If you've never done it before, how many say, oh, it's no problem, you can just do it? You can't. You know, I remember this story that just, you know, let me just see if my brother's here today. I can see, yes, he is there. He's going to forgive me, but I'm going to share this story. This story that my brother told me once when we were on the men's encounter. And it's to do about your flesh, you see. So he said once when he was in Austria a long time ago. Remember that one? He's smiling now. He remembers it. And he had this friend of his who he invited to come over, you know, a business friend, to come and spend a few days with him. And when he came over, he said, he took him out to a Chinese restaurant. And they went, and it's one of these sort of buffet-type places. So it's, you know, I don't know, $5.99, $3.99, whatever, eat as much as you like. And so here goes this guy, and you know, I think they deliberately make the plates really small, don't they? There, so that you can't take too much. So he goes up with his friend, and you know, they load the plate up, you know, put all the goodies, you know, a little crispy this and crispy that, and you know, a few of those ones, those snacks, and he's got a full platter, and they go back to their seats and they sit down and they start to eat. And so they're eating their food. And my friend was saying that, you know, he was only halfway through his plate, and this guy, his visitor, had already finished his plate. Wow. And he'd gone back for another round. So he finished his plate, and went back for another round, came back and sat down and ate that again as well. And then he did this a number of times. A number of times. And finally, he was full. Or finally he stopped. And then something unusual happened. Because the buffets, you know, normally you just sort of, you go and pay at the end. You know, you kind of go to the counter or whatever and you make payments. You pay your $5.99 standard charge and that's it. But this time, something different happened because a bill arrived on the table, served on a small plate. And the bill was for like over 100 quid. And he looked at it and thought, what? How can this be present? And then they said, well, you just ate so much. And he said, no, this isn't right, this isn't right. And all this while, you know, my friend, you know, he's conversing, it's in a different language now in the place. And so they called the manager over, and the manager comes over and says, look, and you know what they've done? They've actually stacked all the little plates that he'd been using to serve himself. They had carefully they've been watching him, and they've been keeping the plate. They've been keeping the plates. And so when he complained, they showed him. They said, see that pile of plates there? That's how many plates your friends went through. And he ate all of those plates, all those foods. He said, this is not normal. This is not normal. Yes, we said it's a $5.99 buffet. Eat as much as you like. But nobody in the history has eaten as much as this. This is not normal. You need to pay us. Otherwise, we're calling the police. And they were so upset and distressed. And in the end, you know, and the funny thing was, this guy, you know, was just from Nigeria. He didn't understand whatever they were speaking about. And he was like, what's going on? What have I done? Why are they calling the police? What's going on here? But, you know, that's a classic example of where the flesh is master. Amen. So the order is spirit first, soul second, and then body third. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And when we fast, it helps to keep the body, the outer man, under. When I say under, I mean under the control and under the authority and under the jurisdiction of your spirit, of your inner man. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. And so God wants us to be in control of our bodies. You know, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says self-control. And so we need to learn how to control self and not let self get on top of us. And so as we prepare for our conference coming up, I want us to grasp this, that you see, we're not fasting just for the fun of it, but we're fasting because we want to prepare ourselves. We want to tune our inner man. We want to be on the same frequency with God, so that as God is releasing his anointing, as God is releasing his blessing, as God is releasing his favor, we can be in position to receive. We can be properly aligned to receive what God is going to give us. You know, someone said, if you want to build high, you must first of all dig deep. Any architect will tell you that if you're going to build a skyscraper, you know, you've got to dig a very deep foundation. Amen? Amen? So that you can actually build high. And so we need to have a sense of expectation. Amen? Versus the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. But you know, if we have no expectation, then that's exactly what we'll get. Nothing, because we have no expectation. I remember the story of the man at the beautiful gate. But he was expecting, he looked at Peter and John coming into the temple, and he was expecting to receive something from them. Amen? Amen. He was expecting to receive. And even though, you know, Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, give I thee. And so his expectation was, in fact, he got more than what he expected. He got more than he bargained for. Because even though they didn't have the silver and the gold, what they gave him, the use of his legs, that miracle, the Bible says that he was leaping and walking and praising God. How many wants to be leaping and walking and praising God? I believe that God wants to give us more than we can ask for. The Bible says that's the nature of our God, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can ask or even dare to imagine. And so set your expectations high. You know, God wants to bless us in the financial arena. You know, I've started to see some trickles, what I call trickles, just drips and drabs, things opening up for me personally in the financial arena, because of the goodness and the favor of God. But I know that there's a lot more. I know that is the thin end of the wedge. God wants to do for you the supernatural. You see, we serve a supernatural God. And so don't expect small things. Don't believe God for small things. You know, we're calling this the year of wow, yeah? So how many of us want God to wow us? When God wows you, you know, it's a deluge. You know, it's something that you don't have room enough to even contain. That's the goodness of God. You know, David said, I would have perished if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God wants to embarrass us with his blessings. Amen. God is a God of favor. Amen. And the Bible says also that God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And so you see, when we fast, when we set ourselves apart, when we sanctify ourselves to the Lord, you see, it's an action. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's an action. You see, so it's not just words. You see, we can have fine words. You see, Lord, I love you more than gold. Lord, I love you more than anything. I love you more than McDonald's. I love you more than this, that, or the other. Those are nice words. But you see, when you fast, when you take that position, it's an action. You are demonstrating, you are showing God. You are showing God that you mean business. You see, our fasting, it doesn't change God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. But what does it do? It changes you. It changes you from the inside out. It helps to set your personal alignments correctly. So it helps to set your spirit first, then your soul, then your body. So you tell your body when to eat. You tell your body when not to eat. You tell your body who's in charge and who's the boss. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Finally, who remembers this parable of the 10 virgins? You know, Jesus gave a parable and he spoke about 10 virgins and he said 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And I'm talking about being prepared and getting ready. And he said the five foolish ones, you know, had their lamps burning all night. And when the cry went out for the bridegroom, that the bridegroom had come now, suddenly they realized that they didn't have enough oil in their lamps. Amen? Amen. Those were the foolish ones. Suddenly they realized just then that there wasn't enough oil. Remember what I said? When opportunity knocks, it's too late to prepare. So what did they do? They went and asked the five wise virgins and said, do you know what? Can you give us some of your oil? Because it looks like we're running out and we haven't got enough. And they said, no, sorry, we can't. You need to go to the source, to the shopkeepers, and buy some more oil for yourselves. Because if we give you some of ours, we won't have enough for ourselves as well. And then the Bible said that while they were away getting or going to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. And the five wise virgins who were ready entered into the feast with the bridegroom because they were ready. There's something about positioning. There's something about being ready. There's something about being in the right place at the right time. You know, Deborah said it was for such a time, or was it Esther that said, for such a time as this. You know, she was strategically placed for such a time as this, that in the moment when they're about to destroy the Jews, in that moment, she was in the right place. She was in a place where she could speak to the king and had the ear of the king and delivered a nation. Amen. We want to be in the right place. Can we stand to our feet? I want to challenge us that as this month of September approaches, as this month of the fast approaches, that we're in position. You see, it's an attitude. Amen. Thank you, Aaron. You see, we need to be in the right place to receive from God. We need to humble our flesh. We need to have the right priorities, amen? We need to keep the outer man under the control and rulership and lordship of the inner man, of our spirit man, amen? God wants to do wonders among us. And his word to us is sanctify yourselves. Don't be looking at somebody else, but look inwards. What are the things that God is speaking to you about? What are the things that you're going to need to fast to separate yourself from for a season of time, in order to gain the bigger blessing? I want to say, if you had an interview that was going to pay you, that you knew was guaranteed, this is a hypothetical situation now, guaranteed £100,000 a year. That's too small. Let's raise it a bit. Guaranteed £1 million per annum salary. How about that? Yeah? Anybody be interested in that? Yeah? Okay. The rest of you maybe wouldn't like it. I know I'd be straight away. That would just fix a lot of things. If I did that for 1 year, £100 million, you know, £1 million work job guaranteed. I just need to work that 1 year. You could position yourself so that you wouldn't need to work the other years. You could do more with that. Do you know what the interest is on £1 million? A cool million sitting in your bank account. A cool million. But if you had the interview for that job that would pay the cool million next week, would you do something this week to prepare for that job? Yeah, sure you would. Of course you would. Of course you would. Of course you would. So get yourself ready. Well, you know what? Jesus has something very, very special for everyone in Harvest Church. For everyone that comes. You know, he says, come. Come to the fountain. Come to the well. Come to the source and drink. See, it's not just in Harvest Church alone, but to anyone who comes, I believe it's strategic that people are going to come from far and near. You know, our speakers are coming from Northumberland, from America. Kathy's coming. Ken and Lois Gott. Just as the shopkeepers prepare for you, you know, they're preparing for us. They're listening to God. They're tuning into God to prepare that blessing, to prepare to impart what God has given to them. And so we're on God's heart. You see, we're crying out to God, but you know what? The Bible says God cherishes you as the apple of his eye. You're crying out to God, but you know what? The Bible says God has inscribed your name on the palm of his hand. God loves you so much. God loves you so much. God has nothing but good things in store for you. And it would be an absolute shame for any one of us to miss out on the good things that God has for us. So why wouldn't we be prepared? Why wouldn't we be prepared to receive from God, our loving Heavenly Father? Why wouldn't we welcome his goodness with open arms? So church, we need to position ourselves. We need to say, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready for you. Come and do in me what I cannot do for myself. Come and do through me what I cannot do by myself. And God, by the way, God is the God who watches over his word to perform it in your life. So it's God's word. He says, command me concerning the words of my mouth. So God challenges us to bring his word back to him and to command him concerning that word. And I believe that at this conference, God is going to do wonders. I believe that we're going to cross over and we're going to be in a strategic place, that every place that the sole of our foot treads on, God has already given it to us for a possession. There are people believing God for a new job. There are people believing God for turnarounds in their financial situations. There are those believing God for issues concerning their health. There are those believing God for issues concerning their children in every area of our life. You know, God is concerned about every single area of your life. God loves you infinitely more than you know. And so I want us today just to, as a family, just say, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I open my heart to you. Lord, I align myself. I get myself into position. I humble my flesh. And I sanctify myself according to your word. I set myself apart, away from distractions, away from the things that would hinder me, away from things that would come between me and you. And I turn towards you, and I'm focused. Pour out, O God, your goodness. Pour out, O God, your blessing. Father, do in me what I cannot do for myself. Let your name be glorified in me, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Can we give God glory? Can we give God praise today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father.